If you'll please join me in opening your Bible to 2 Kings chapter 10. 2 Kings chapter 10. Our text for this evening's message will be verses 12 through 17. 2 Kings chapter 10, verses 12 through 17. And we will begin by reading our text together, if you will please follow along carefully with me. And he arose and departed and came to Samaria. And as he was at the sheep shearing house in the way, Jehu met with the brethren of Ahaziah, king of Judah, and said, "Who are ye?" And they answered, "We are the brethren of Ahaziah, and we go down to salute the children of the king and the children of the queen." And he said, "Take them alive." And they took them alive and slew them at the pit of the shearing house, even 42 men, neither left he any of them. And when he was departed thence, he lighted on Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, coming to meet him. And he saluted him and said, "Is thine heart right as my heart is with thy heart?" And Jehonadab answered, "It is. If it be, give me thine hand." And he gave him his hand, and he took him up to him into the chariot. And he said, "Come with me, and see my zeal for the Lord." So they made him ride in his chariot. And when he came to Samaria, he slew all that remained unto Ahab in Samaria, till he had destroyed him, according to the saying of the Lord, which he spake to Elijah. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for another Lord's Day. We thank you for the sunshine. We thank you for a cool, comfortable place to meet together, to worship you, to study your word, to sing praises, and just to enjoy Christian fellowship. Thank you for the air conditioning, Lord, and for having that working well for us. We pray that you just watch over our facilities throughout the year and during the times of hot weather and cold and wet and all that it goes through, that you just keep your hand of protection about us, please. Lord, we ask that you would bless our time of Bible study tonight, please, God. We ask for a blessing by the ministry of your Spirit. We ask for his inspiration and quickening tonight to be able to understand your word, to communicate it clearly, Lord, and in a way that would be easy to understand and receive. I pray that you'd quicken us, that we might receive your word with all readiness of mind, that your word might be mixed with faith tonight in the hearts of those who hear, and that it would bring forth fruit. Please guide our thoughts and words, and may you be honored in the remainder of our church service, as well as in the fellowship to follow. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. As we've seen already, King Jehu was a person that you definitely wanted to be on friendly terms with and certainly not opposed to, because everyone who stood against King Jehu did not succeed, but those who stood with Jehu were safe. They were on the winning side. Certainly when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to make sure that we're on his side. He is the victor, and everyone who's with Jesus is ultimately going to win the war. We may lose some battles along the way, but we're on the winning side. We want to be with the Lord. But tonight for our message, we're going to briefly explore this topic together. Is your heart right? Or in another way of putting it, get on board. Is your heart right? Or get on board. And we're going to see how, as Jehu continues his march to power, he meets, first of all, with some who would have stood against him. And then he meets with another individual who, with a willing heart, stood with him. And so as we consider these things, we then ought to be encouraged as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ to have a heart that is indeed right, a heart that's right with God, a heart that's right with our fellow believers, that would incline us to get on board with our fellow believers, that we might have the courage to stand with them in zeal for the Lord. And there's a good test of whether or not we're right with God. Are we on board with God's people? John said it this way, if a man say he loved God, how can he love God whom he's not seen if he doesn't love the brothers whom he has seen? If we're not on board with God's people, we're not in fellowship with God. But tonight we're going to be challenged with that thought. Again, is your heart right, or get on board? So to guide our message tonight, let's note two main ideas in our text, and they center around these two meetings, encounters that Jehu makes as he marches from Jezreel now up to Samaria. We'll note, first of all, the slaying of the rebellious sympathizers. The slaying of the rebellious sympathizers, and then secondly, the standing by the righteous son. The standing by the righteous son. So let's begin with that thought, the slaying of the rebellious sympathizers. It's seen in verses 12 through 14. But again, at Jezreel, we've already seen how Jehu has disposed of Israel's King Joram, Judah's King Ahaziah, Israel's wicked Queen Jezebel, and 70 of Ahab's sons or grandsons. So he's basically eliminated all threats to his power at Jezreel. Now he's going to leave Jezreel and go to Samaria, the capital of Israel's northern kingdom. And as Jehu now continues his march to power from Jezreel, he's going to go and conquer Samaria. As we find here in verses 12 through 14, that along the way, as he's traveling along this way towards Samaria, he comes to the shearing house. Okay, this was a sheep shearing house, and Jehu, perhaps traveling in hot, dry, dusty weather, he decides, hey, let's pull off here. Let's take a break for a while. Maybe they just want to get a cool drink of water, maybe find a sheep and, lie down and take a nap, find some wool that's around there. I don't know. Maybe a sheep's wool pillow, that would have been nice. But anyhow, he comes to this sheep shearing house. He's going to cool off in the shade for a spell. And as he does this, he meets a group of men. There are 42 men in this group. And when Jehu meets them, he asks them that question. It seems to be Jehu's favorite question. Again, who are you? Look back at chapter 9, verses 30 and 31. You remember he used that trusty owl call there with the eunuchs. He calls out, who is on my side? Who? Now again, he asks these men, who are ye? Well, these men, as they answer, they are the brethren of Ahaziah. As we've noted before, Ahaziah, the king of Judah, was grandson to Ahab. Okay, by virtue of Ahaziah's father's, Joram's marriage to Athaliah, who was Uncle Ahab's and Jezebel's daughter. So Ahaziah was not the man on whose side you wanted to be in this situation when you meet Jehu. And so when Jehu meets them, again, he asks them, who are ye? And they immediately answer, we are the brethren of Ahaziah, and we go down to the children of the king to salute the children of the king and the children of the queen. That seems pretty clear that these men did not recognize Jehu. They didn't know to whom they were speaking, or else they may have, for some reason, been unaware of the events which had taken place recently with Jehu's killing Joram, Ahaziah, Jezebel, and 70 of Ahab's descendants, his sons and grandsons. And so their answer was, well, it was the wrong answer if you're going to answer Jehu's question, who are ye? Again, we've noted this in earlier studies, but Ahaziah's literal brothers were killed in the slaughter of Joram, king of Judah's house. The Philistines and others had come in. They had slain everyone. There's one man who survives, and that is this, the man Ahaziah. He survives. He becomes Judah's king. So when these men say that they are Ahaziah's brethren, the idea here is that they would have been nephews or cousins, their relatives. But whether or not they're literal relatives of Ahaziah, as they describe themselves here, they're certainly sympathizers with the household of Ahaziah and Ahab, because they're on their way to salute the children of the king and of the queen. And when they said the children of the king, they're not talking about Jehu. Okay, they're talking about Joram, the king of Israel, again, who has been slain. Maybe they were aware that he had been slain. Maybe they're going down to salute the children of the king and the queen, not the king and the queen, but the children, maybe an effort just to comfort these children, surviving children, in light of the slaying of their parents. So they're relatives of Ahaziah. That means they're part of Ahab's household. They also are sympathizers toward the house of Ahab. And so we see then how Jehu responds to them. In verse 14, Jehu says to his men, "Take them alive, arrest them, take them alive." And so they take these 42 men, and as verse 14 further explains, they take them down to the pit of the shearing house. Very likely this was the place where the sheep would be taken for washing before they were, trimmed up, got a haircut. So they cleaned all that wool before they were trimmed. So they take them down to this pit. There they slay, they kill all 42 of them, and most likely they bury them or cover them there in the pit. Again, this was a very ruthless act on the part of Jehu, but he had been commissioned by the Lord to slay all that pertained to Ahab's house. And these men, by their own testimony, were brothers to Ahaziah, who was part of Ahab's household. That was the wrong answer. And also, by their own testimony, they are sympathizing with the household of Ahab. And this puts them on the wrong side of events and circumstances. Like their brother Ahaziah before them, these men were in the wrong place. They were seeking to be with and to sympathize with the wrong people at the wrong time, and it cost them their lives. Do you remember the events of Ahaziah's death? He had gone down to visit Joram and visit with him because of the wounds that he had received in battle. He's there to encourage him, and he gets killed in the process. Well, 2 Chronicles 22:7 gives us that detail. But the very next verse says this, 2 Chronicles 22:8, "When Jehu was executing judgment upon the house of Ahab and found the princes of Judah and the sons of the brethren of Ahaziah," that's these guys, his nephews, "that ministered to Ahaziah, he slew them." So Ahaziah went, he was with the wrong crowd at the wrong time, and it cost him his life. These 42 men, following that same pattern, are in the wrong place, supporting the wrong people, and it cost them dearly. The slaying of these 42 men, who at least socialized and sympathized with those who were rebels against God, against the Lord, they were servants of Baal, is a reminder to beware of the company that we keep, because being in the wrong path with the wrong people can lead to certain destruction, if not physically, spiritually. Many people have been in the presence of someone who committed a crime, and they themselves became liable in that situation, cost them dearly. Beware of walking in the wrong crowd, because you, like these 42 men, may end up in a pit. Proverbs 4 says, "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it, and pass away. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Be not among wine bibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh." And Paul said, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners." So these men were slain in the pit. And in all likelihood, they were not believers in the true and living God. They did not merely go to the pit, the sheep shearing pit, but their souls would have descended into the pit of hell. They were on the wrong side. They didn't choose sides with the Lord. Secondly, there is the standing by the righteous son, or the standing with the righteous son. We see this in verses 15 through 17. So Jehu has further disposed of members of Ahab's house, as he had been commissioned to do. And Jehu then leaves the shearing house. He continues on his way to the city of Samaria. And as he does that, he makes another encounter. When he was departed thence, he lighted on Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, coming to meet him. So this time Jehu meets one man. He's named Jehonadab. He's the son of Rechab, and he's coming out to meet Jehu. Jehonadab is described as a son of Rechab. That means he's a Rechabite. The Rechabites were a nomadic tribe. They were part of the Kenites, according to 1 Chronicles 2:55. Moses' wife, as we know, was a Kenite, and that also led to their group of peoples going up out of Egypt with Israel and settling to the south of Judah. But the history of this family is very interesting. The history of Jehonadab is very interesting, and it's very positive. It's very encouraging. This family, the family of Jehonadab, the family of Rechab, they maintained their distinctiveness. They were committed to walking in the paths of righteousness, even when others did not. And so in contrast to these 42 brothers and sympathizers with the rebellious, Jehonadab was one man standing alone, dedicated to honor the Lord and walking in the old paths of faithfulness, godliness, and holiness. We have to go a little bit later in Israel's history to find out the full story behind the family of Jehonadab and the Rechabites. But you can look to Jeremiah chapter 35, verses 1 through 19. We'll not do that. But as you would go to that passage of Scripture, you find that later, this man, Jehonadab's family, would later be held up by the Lord as an example of loyalty and holiness. They would follow their father's instructions in a number of areas. One area was that they were teetotalers. They did not drink of any alcoholic drink whatsoever. They also lived in tents as nomadic people. They did not settle down inside the city of Jerusalem. They lived in tents so that they reminded this world is not their home. They're not settling down. They're not eaten up with materialism. They're teetotalers. They're a nomadic people. They're not settling down in carnal complacency that, again, characterized those who were living inside the walls of Jerusalem at that time. Well, God leads Jeremiah to do something very interesting. He tells Jeremiah, I want you to bring the sons of Jehonadab, the sons of Rechab, into an inner part of the temple in privacy, no one else watching, no one else knows about it, just you, Jeremiah, and them, and me, and I, the Lord. Well, Jeremiah goes and he offers these sons of Jehonadab, these sons of Rechab, wine to drink. And what do? They absolutely refuse. They would not drink it. And the Lord says, you see their obedience, their loyalty to their father, they were a shining contrast to the rebellious people of Israel who refused to honor the Lord, their one that they called their father. They refuse to walk in his ways. And God says, you see the loyalty, the faithfulness of these men. He says, because of their God-honoring loyalty toward their father, they're never going to lack a man to stand before me. And God would bless them. And we could use some more faithful sons and men like that today. So that's a little bit of background. And this is where this begins. Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, he already has that kind of character. He is a godly, faithful man. That's what his family is known for. And so he's coming out now, the scripture tells us, to meet Jehu. Well, when Jehu sees Jehonadab coming out to meet him, verse 15 says that he saw Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, coming to meet him, and he saluted him and said to him, is thine heart right as my heart is with thy heart? Jehu wanted to be certain that this good man was on his side and not against him. And certainly Jehu would welcome the support of such a man with godly character, one who clearly stood against the wickedness and immorality that was going on in Baal worshiping Israel at this time. In fact, that Jehonadab comes out specifically to meet Jehu is indicative of the fact that he's supportive. He's probably heard what Jehu is doing. He hears that Jehu is draining the swamp. And he comes out and he says, you know what? I want to be on that guy's side. I want to be on his side. And so he comes out to meet him at his coming to Samaria. He comes out and he clearly stands with him. And Jehu says, hey, is your heart right with mine as my heart is towards you? And hearing that, Jehonadab, again, who's already on the Lord's side, he's against Baal, he's against the swamp. And so his answer is a very firm, it is. It is. And that was enough. Well, Jehu says, goes on to say, if it be, if it is, if your heart really is right with my heart, if you are really on my side, give me thine hand. In other words, he said, put her there. Sticks out his hand. Jehonadab takes his hand and he takes him up into the chariot. And this extending of hands shows that Jehonadab was openly standing with Jehu. He was in support of Jehu and what he was doing. He was against the household of Ahab and everything that they represented. And in effect, we could say Jehonadab was on board with Jehu. That was true literally, but it was true in a spiritual sense, in a sense of fellowship and a common goal. He says, yes, I am on your side. Jehu, I'm on board with you. My heart is right toward you because my heart's right toward God, and I'm going to get on board with you. One commentary said here, Jehonadab's simple response, it is, was all that Jehu needed to hear. Many of the children of Israel in the northern kingdom would no doubt have looked upon the Rechabites as a group of fanatics and traditionalists. However, it is likely that they were also respected for their commitment to the old desert way of life. Certainly, Jehu appreciated that, and they would be useful allies to have on board if he were to fulfill his ambitions. And therefore, he offered Jehonadab his hand and took him up into the chariot. Like Jehu, you and I need to get on board with those who will encourage us to stand for the Lord and His truth. I ask you tonight, is your heart right? Are you really on board? Are you really in support of the Lord's work, of the ministry of Great Grace Baptist Church? Can you really say, Pastor, I'm on board with you. I'm on board with what we want to do at Grace Baptist Church. If not, you need to consider your heart. Consider whether you're really on board with Him. David said, I am companion of all them that fear Thee and of them that keep Thy commandments. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Paul said, be that not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. So Jehonadab gets on board with Jehu. He says, yes, I'm on your side. Let's go. Again, as Jehonadab was very bravely stepping up into Jehu's chariot, which, by the way, was an act of courage, because we know a little bit about Jehu's chariot, right? It was known to be like fast and furious. He was known for his road running. And you know that the man's heart had to be right with God in order to get on board with him and ride with Jehu. It's like, you know, because you never know where that trip's going to end up, so you want to be ready. Yeah, so he's climbing up into the chariot with Jehu. Again, verse 16, Jehu says, come with me and see my zeal for the Lord. So they made him ride in his chariot. Now, that last sentence in verse 16 can almost sound humorous. It almost, as we read it, you could almost think they had to force him, like, you're going to ride with Jehu. We'll be somewhere along behind you. No, the idea is that this was a privilege. This was an honor. They gave him this position to ride with Jehu. But I do want to mention this. Jehu makes this statement. He says, come with me and see my zeal for the Lord. Now, we trust that Jehu was sincere in his words there, that he really did feel in his heart that he was being zealous for the Lord. Perhaps there were some mixed motives there. We don't know. But unfortunately, as we're going to see from the later testimony in Jehu's life, that'll be revealed in verses 30 and 31, his zeal for the Lord was overestimated. And there's a lesson for us here. We need to beware of self-confidence when it comes to our stand for God. And Jehu, and I don't know what personality type he would have been if he went through the personality test today, but it seems pretty certain that he's a very driven, motivated individual. He was a go-getter. You know, he didn't let, you know, the grass grow under his feet, so to speak. But he's claiming zeal for the Lord, but much of it perhaps is just in the flesh. We've got to be careful of that. We sing the words tonight, stand up for Jesus, stand in His strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. Jeremiah said, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. Paul said, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. So this was not necessarily a wrong thing for Jehu to say. But later decisions and actions on the part of Jehu would reveal that much of his zeal was rooted in self-confidence and not in the Lord. Verse 17, and when he came to Samaria, he slew all that remained unto Ahab in Samaria till he had destroyed him according to the saying of the Lord, which he spake to Elijah. So finally, we see there in verse 17, as Jehonadab rides in Jehu's fiery chariot with him into Samaria, Jehu then demonstrates his self-proclaimed zeal for the Lord. He shows his zeal for the Lord by destroying everyone that remained in Ahab's household inside the city according to the word of the Lord that he spoke to Elijah. Zeal for the Lord is demonstrated by obedience to the word. Zeal for the Lord is demonstrated by obedience to the word. It's not just words. It's not just what we say, but it is what we do on a day-to-day basis. No one else is looking in the routine when it's boring, when it's just work, when it's whatever. That zeal for the Lord, that's what God wants. And Jehu does that here. As Christians, we need to positively be encouraged here to have and show zeal or fervency for the Lord by doing good works in obedience to His word. Now, our zeal for the Lord is not seen by taking a sword and going and, you know, chopping off people's heads. You know, that's not the Lord's way in our commission. We are out to win souls, to save souls, not to destroy men's lives. But we ought to be zealous, and no less zealous in our efforts to serve the Lord than Jehu was in his efforts to serve the Lord in that unique commission. Romans 12:11 says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. That word for fervent literally means boiling hot. It's the same word that comes from the same root word that is elsewhere translated zeal or zealous. What's it mean? It means to be on fire for God. It means to have some fervency, some heat about your passion in serving the Lord. This is what God wants. This is why Jesus saved us. Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, much like Jehonadab and his family, zealous with zeal, zealous of good works. God wants his people to be zealous today. And when we're not, he's not happy about it. Revelation 3:15, the last local church that Jesus addressed in the book of Revelation is the church at Laodicea. The name Laodicea literally means the people rule. The people rule. Well, that's not a good thing. Revelation 3:15, Jesus said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. You're not cold or hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. So God says, you're lukewarm. You're not hot or cold, and it makes me sick. I want to spew it out of my mouth. And what was the Lord's message to that church? He says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. So Jesus' message for the lukewarm church at Laodicea was to be zealous. That is, to get fired up. To repent of their coolness and complacency. To get on board with the Lord's mission. This is a message that we need to heed today. Is our heart right? Are we on board? Are we willing to take hands, the right hand of fellowship, and say, hey, let's do this. Let's serve the Lord. Come and let's show zeal for the Lord. Let's be certain that our heart is right with God, that we might have zeal to stand for the Lord with His people in these days. Lord, thank You for the examples that You've preserved for us in Scripture. We thank You for the positive lessons that we're able to learn from Jehu, and especially from Jehonadab and his family, and what's said about them elsewhere in Scripture. I pray, Lord, that You would stir in our hearts that we might be zealous, Lord, in a day when the love of many is growing cold because iniquity abounds. May that not be true of us. Help us to provoke one another to love and to good works, Lord, to get on board with each other, to press toward the prize, to press the work forward in Your strength. Please help us. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I'd like to ask a few questions for us to respond to God's Word tonight. And then we'll finish our prayer and sing a hymn. The first question is this: have you personally repented of your sins and received the Lord Jesus Christ? Whose side are you on? Jesus said to a group of religious people, ye are of your father, the devil. You realize that a religious person can be on the wrong side. They can be on the devil's side. Are you on the Lord's side? Well, in order for that to be true, there must have been a time when you crossed over, you chose to receive Christ. Are there any here tonight that would say, preacher, I need to do that. I have never personally turned from my sins and received Jesus Christ, but I want to do that right here tonight. Is there anyone tonight that would just raise your hand before the Lord? You'd say, yes, preacher, that's the decision I'm making before God tonight. I'm saying, Jesus, save me. I want to be on your side. I would like to receive you as my Lord and Savior. If that's you, would you quietly raise your hand, anyone at all? All right, Christian, again, is your heart right? Is it truly right toward the Lord, toward your fellow believers? Are you being zealous for the Lord? Are you being zealous for righteousness? Are you standing with His people? Are you on board in the chariot? Have you extended the right hand of fellowship? Are you going forward in the service of our God? Lord, again, thank You for speaking to our hearts. Please help us this week, Lord, to be zealous. Help us to build that zeal through Your Word, that it might be like a fire in our bones, Lord, that would give us the spiritual fuel and strength, God, to labor faithfully and fervently for You in whatever capacity You've given to us, but especially in, Lord, pressing Your kingdom forward and seeking to win others to You. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.